What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserve Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. We are here a little bit more than post-draft, but post-draft. And Alex, was all your hopes and dreams shattered like mine were?
What's going on, guys? How are you, Angelo? Yeah. Not certain that they were, like, dashed like that. A few players that I thought should have gone a bit higher. But, like, my guy... And Matthew Agnuka went in first, was actually the second wide receiver drafted over the Matt Golden. So that's an improvement for me. There was a lot of buzz into the drill, if I'm not mistaken. My last mock has of a wide receiver being projected to go to the Bucks, which didn't sound like the most like realistic need that they had at the time. I had Tet going to the Bucks at 19 in the last mock.
Little did you know there was another team who would go Tet much, much earlier than that.
That one kind of surprised me, I'm not gonna lie. That was a hot landing spot for a wide receiver, the Bucks, at least as of late. And when you think about like Chris Godwin, he had that injury late in the season last year. He got an extension, but I believe they have an out after this year. Mike Evans also isn't the youngest guy in the league anymore, and I believe it's his last year of the deal in 2025. So you could see how this kind of makes sense, them grabbing a wide receiver early that they think can be the heir apparent to one of those guys. Yeah, after that, like a lot of wide receivers land, I felt vindicated about the Shedeur Sanders, and I just remember back to the time in which, in the first mock draft, when I showed it to you, and it's like, how is Shedeur Sanders, like, in the being picked 28th? And I'm like, I feel like this is maybe the best case scenario for him.
Feel vindicated? Does the Shedeur slip make you feel vindicated?
It did, because I feel like it's something, especially guys like Mel Kiper and whatnot, just like being going absolutely berserker that their guy Shedeur Sanders didn't go. When it was quite clear to me watching the dude that it was this guy's bang on average talent. Like this guy, like the difference between this guy and a Kyle Trask or something like that is not that much, apart from the name. And I felt like the NFL not only vindicated that, but it also shows you, and this is probably a lesson learned for kids in the future, even if you have some sort of talent, even if you show some sort of pedigree in college, and you bring a program into, I mean, he didn't win the championship or anything with Colorado, but as was said plenty of times before, he brought Colorado back from a like, 2-win season to an 11-win season, something like that. Even if all of that happens, when you have the baggage of a Shedeur Sanders, the entourage of a Shedeur Sanders, like the old circus that comes with all of your entourage, I'm not entirely certain the NFL will take that on unless you're like an absolutely uber talented player, which he just wasn't. Felt vindicated in that, in my Sanders statement. Felt vindicated in also saying like, although some people were saying like four QBs being drafted in the first, at least early in the process, I was just like, this is very, very much a 2022 QB class. This is the Kenny Pickett draft all over again, or 2023 or whatever that was. So also felt vindicated in that.
So basically this was the draft where Alex just was right. This is
something
which makes me feel even worse about this draft, because usually when Alex is right, that means everything else is wrong.
Means a lot. And I got right the player for your team and for my team. That's from like day one. So
yeah, he did. When I saw, I was like, golly, dude.
Hey, you can just go back on that one. That was a while back. That was on I believe it was like 3 weeks prior to the draft, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. I had Shamar Stewart to the Bengals, Ray Zabel to the Seahawks. Those were like the two picks that I had. Those picks also transitioned to this year's to the latest mock draft. So hey, I got those right at least. But what did you like most about the draft?
everyone I liked, like, as far as skill position, they got fucked, other than my boy, Omarion Hampton, who, to the moon, pick 101. Like, if you have the 101 pick, you're doing yourself a disservice by not just trading down to number two and picking the better running back. Like, and once again, we're in this situation. Once we are in this situation again, Alex, where I'm here boasting that the consensus second best player at a position is actually the best, and we know how that went last year with Malik Nabers. So I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's the same, but I'm getting the same vibes, you know. I'm stupid high on this dude. Everyone else seems to want to coordinate Genty with, like, even though he ran over 13-year-olds and probably needs to be accused of child endangerment. But, no, like, Omarion Hampton, I'm trying to get that dude in as many leagues as possible. Everyone else absolutely got, like, shafted. Tyler Warren, I liked better. He went to the Colts. Gross. I kind of like Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee. He went to the Browns as the second running back. Double gross. Luther Burden is unfortunately going to die for my sins because he got drafted to the fucking Bears. Just, I'm sad. I'm really sad. Just fuck the Bears. That's all I have to say. Like, that's another thing. Caleb Williams, the fucking most pandered to princess quarterback of my generation. Like, tell me, Alex, when's the last time you had a quarterback with a team that's invested so much? They signed DeAndre Swift. I believe they traded for, or they signed DJ Moore. They brought in, traded for Keenan Allen. They drafted Roma Dunze. And then they followed that up. And they drafted another wide receiver, Luther Burden, who I think could have been the best wide receiver in this class. I'm using that in the past tense because the Bears is where shit goes to die. And then Courtland Love, his family looked like they just found out he got cancer. That's how, like, happy he was that he got drafted to the Bears. Like,
I mean, isn't that what we've preached, though? Like, that these young QBs need? It's just, like, they need the supporting cast. Like, we can't be criticizing franchises when they draft a guy and they don't support him.
How many tight ends do you need, Alex? How many wide receivers do you need? I'm surprised they didn't go running back.
They have two. I'm surprised they didn't go running back either. Like, I would think that a running back was more important for them than, like, a wide receiver in this case. But I don't know if, like, if you can ever say that too much is too much. I feel like they just had to grab a player. They're
definitely trying to make you right about Caleb Williams, and I know you're wrong.
Hey, I like the investment. I mean, they've invested heavily in the offensive line through free agency. They've invested heavily on the defense through free agency. So I guess they just decided to add some more pieces on offense. And, like, this way you have two young guys on rookie deals for, like, the entirety of Caleb Williams' rookie deal. You have DJ Moore as the alpha guy. Maybe in, like, 2 years or so, he's no longer, like, needed for that role, and you can just run with Luther Burden and run with Roma Dunze. I like this offense. They're bolstering it up, and I don't really see an issue with it.
Is back in full force.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears look damn nice here. They finally have an offensive head coach. I expect Caleb Williams to take a leap forward.
Alex went from saying when Justin Fields was here, oh, the offensive line isn't that bad. They're actually, you know, above average, you know, to they finally fix the offensive line. Fuck off, Alex.
It should be a bit more fixed. So it's a good time to invest in Caleb Williams cards, I guess. That's what I'm saying. now that that's my new hobby. I guess that's what I'm going to buy next. Actually, I have a box coming in next week of rookie cards that has Caleb Williams still in it. I'll search for that and for some Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is not as fucking protected as the princess that is fucking Caleb Williams.
Oh. Come on.
What?
Hey, he just got some help. He needs the help.
That's good for her.
Could you tell me the last, like, rookie slash sophomore quarterback that you know got more, like, investment than the Bears invested in Caleb? Well, they basically said, like, Caleb Williams is a bank and the 2007 recession is about to happen. He's too big to fail. The Bears could not have Caleb Williams fail under any circumstances. So there is no check that is too big for them to cash out to give Caleb help. There is no draft capital that is too expensive to have to bail Caleb Williams out.
Wait a minute. I was under the impression that a certain CJ Stroud, immediately after he got drafted, the Texans went on and got him like the best defensive piece in that draft. Then they added Stephon Diggs the year after. Then they traded for Joe Mixon the year after as well. They added Tank Dell, the wide receiver that he loved from the draft as well. They added the offensive line, although it went to like the shitters. No, Tank Dell was a second or third round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Nico Collins, my bad. They paid.
No, Nico was there before, just like DJ Moore was there before as well.
Let me get this straight. Them using. You want to compare them using third and fourth round picks at wide receivers and using their second draft pick in the same draft to draft the best defensive player.
Well, they moved up to get like third overall pick in the draft.
To the Bears, basically buying a yacht's worth of players out of free agency of wide receivers and running backs.
They got like one guy out of free agency. DeAndre Swift was the other one,
DJ
but that was
Moore,
prior.
DeAndre
no,
Swift.
DJ Moore was traded Allen. For. Was traded for in the move that then got them Caleb Williams. DeAndre Swift was the free agency signing, and it was the same year as Caleb Williams got in. Sure. But I mean, they spent a first. Since Caleb has been there, they spent a first on Roma Dunze. They spent a second on Luther Burden.
And they spent a first on
Loveland. Yes.
And they paid DJ Moore. And they paid.
Now, DJ Moore was paid Cole before.
They paid DJ Moore. They paid Keenan Allen. They paid Cole Kmet.
I feel like those situations aren't all that different. It's just like me saying they paid the Texans.
What?
The Texans. Okay, so the Texans paid Nico Collins. Like top of the market money. Is that like, why are they helping their wide receiver? Are they dumb? Is that the argument that we're making here? Like, they're helping their wide receiver, their QB, so they must be some dumb fucks. But when they don't help their QB,
they're
also dumb fucks.
Yes, I get it. But there's helping your quarterback, and there's like pushing all your coins into the center of the table and saying, here, take my money.
Okay. So tell me, riddle me this. So, worst-case scenario is what? Killiam fails and he sucks, and next year they have to draft a QB, and now the new QB has all of these pieces around him, which is what we always want for a rookie QB. Is that the worst-case scenario? I guess worst-case scenario is being on like year five after spending a bunch of money on wide receiver and giving your QB a deal, and you're just like Trevor Lawrence, being shit still. And you have to trade up to get the second overall pick. Just get him all that help from like the best player in the draft. I just don't see how this is such a big thing. Like they're making smart moves. They're drafting good players for the team. They're surrounding their QB with all the help that he needs to properly evaluate him. Like, I don't see the big issue.
You're just this is copium beyond copium.
Like, hey, I feel like you're being too harsh on the Bears when the Bears did smart moves.
The Bears did
smart moves, I think. Yeah. I think that's fair to say. I guess the decision to go with
Luther Burden down arrow, Sox huge down.
I think the decision to go with Loveland over Warren, that could be something to pick at.
They went.
But there were teams.
Who you think is the second best tight end in the class, not the first. Yes. Their first round pick.
Yes, but there were teams, to be fair, that had Loveland over Warren, and that was widely reported prior to the draft.
Maybe the Bears.
I just thought that maybe Warren would be a better fit, purely because he's a guy that is used to the fake plays. Like, he is used to passing the football, to running with the football, like being out of the wildcat and whatnot. Those trick plays that Ben Johnson likes to run so much. So I thought that could be a better fit. But outside of that, I thought they were all very smart moves. Like, they were smarter moves than what Carolina was doing. But I guess that's just what they like to do.
Basically, the Bears tax is coming. Bears tax. Bears tax. When the Bears players come out, you gotta pay the tax.
Oh, so the Panthers, they drafted Ted McMillan. Like, after a full offseason of saying this team was one of those willing approaches. I didn't like the pick, especially when they were, like...
What do you mean? Heavily... No, you're not going to get away that easily. You're not going to get away that easy.
What?
Before this draft happened and this whole offseason, you're all like, oh, Bryce Young is the truth. Maybe Bryce Young was actually the best quarterback in that class. They drafted a wide receiver like they did for Pretty Princess Caleb.
I just don't like the wide receiver. That's the only thing. I think it's a shit receiver. I think you could have gotten a better version of him in Higgins in like the second round, or you could have traded down. And I know it takes two to tango, sure. But I feel like the Tets in this range is a reach. Anything inside of the top 10 is a reach for me, for that. But he had to go somewhere. I just thought that the fall could have happened if they didn't draft him here, and I thought that there were better options on the table. At Hedge, for example, which they definitely needed. Like, they could have gone Mikael Williams, for example. I thought that was a much more smarter pick than just a draft wide receiver in the second round. But hey, it is what it is. I just don't like the player, and I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole.
You're not going to draft Ted as the first
round. I'm not drafting Ted anywhere.
Interesting.
I'd rather take Travis Hunter.
So where would Ted need to fall for you to be like, okay, I should probably select him?
Okay, so I would rather take Travis Hunter. I'd rather take Anderson, Judkins. I'd rather take Agbuka, of course. I'd rather take both tight ends, I think. No, maybe Warren. I would rather take Warren. Then it comes Travion to Henderson, Caleb.
RJ Harvey.
Yeah, it comes to... No, Anderson, I said so. I don't know if I would take him ahead of Johnson. I'd probably take him ahead of Johnson. So he would need to fall to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 6, 7. He'd need to fall to like 8, maybe 9. Maybe I'd rather take Matthew Golden ahead of him. So 8-9 would be the range, and
you're drafting him above Luther Burden. Is that what you're saying?
Rather draft him ahead of Luther Burden, yeah, because I think Burden could be in a JSN situation.
Yeah, he could, couldn't he?
Yeah, and it's still like four wide receiver. It's still a guy that got drafted inside of the top 10 versus a guy in the second round. So,
yeah.
But a JSN situation isn't bad. Like, second-year JSN did great, and, like, third-year JSN is going to have a bunch of targets available. So, it just takes a bit of time to wait.
Sad. Big sad.
Okay, after that, Tyler Warren to the Colts. You didn't like that. Explain to me why you didn't like that. And you can't just say Anthony Richardson.
Because the Colts are a shitty organization. So here's the thing. We are living in a post-Brock Bowers civilization. So here's what you're going to expect from Tyler Warren as the consensus top tight end and someone you're about to invest a first-round pick in your rookie drafts, dynasty drafts. you're expecting tight end one numbers. You can say, oh, no, that's not fair. That is the reality of the situation. And to be honest, the Colts are not a situation where, like, I immediately think, oh, yeah, this is a great situation to have a tight end one season. No, it's not. It's really not. So here's what I would do. If you like Tyler Warren, I would wait a season when he doesn't have a tight end one season and his stock falls either precipitously or, you know, a little bit, then I'd buy in. Because I'm imagining next year, around this time, you're going to be getting like second round at most value for Tyler Warren. That's my prediction.
I'm a bit torn. Because for one side, I think he could have not like tight end one production, but I think he could have good solid production. Like, not in those like waiver wire type of guys that you rotate every single year. Week and like 1 week they give you 10, the other one they give you nothing. I think this is a guy that could get you like some solid stable numbers around 8-10. Tops. It's not going to be a super sexy guy. But I don't necessarily think people will be expecting that from him. Because I think people see Anthony Richardson and the love has sort of died down quite a bit. And they also see Michael Pittman in the field. And they also see Josh Downs in the field. They also have the Jonathan Taylor. They still know that this is a run-heavy offense. But I don't know if the appeal is necessary there for this guy to be, like, off the gate. An extremely, like, productive sort of player. So I could see it just being sort of like some people drafting this guy, but you see more willingness to wait for him to do something. So I don't think it's going to be one of those guys that you draft super high and then like mid of the season, you're like, you're done with him. I don't think that's going to be necessarily the case. And I also wouldn't be surprised if this guy all of a sudden becomes like the number one target for Richardson, because let's not forget, this is an organization that has wanted to fix the tight end position for at least like 3 years now, as far as I remember. They were in on Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers got out from under them. That was pretty widely reported when the Raiders took him out of nowhere. They were kind of shook with that because they wanted Bowers. And now they finally get the tight end. And it's the best tight end in the class for a lot of teams, for myself as well. So I could see them like trying to involve him heavily on the offense, and like it could really help Richardson as well, help the young tight end out, giving him a target in the middle of the field, a reliable target as well. He, as we said before, he has that bit of a Travis Kelce feel for the game, of like exploring the openness in the middle of the field and finding the right zones to stand in for the QB to hit him. So I think as the season develops, you will see that connection develop as well. So I'm not entirely against drafting Warren straight out of the gate, because I don't think the season is going to be as bad as you think. And I also don't think owners will be as quick to draw that, to pull that trigger on just selling him, because I think their expectations are not the highest for this guy.
Okay. Okay, buddy. You keep living in your fantasy land here. No. I got a Caleb Williams plush doll to sell you, man. Enjoy.
Okay, so Mario Anthon, I know you love that dude. He had a great landing spot with the Chargers inside of the first round. Najee's there, but like, are we concerned with Najee in the big year of 2025? Probably not. So yeah, the landing spot is nice. Again, I just don't think the difference in capital can really justify taking a Mario Anthon, but I also won't blame you for liking him more. Because like it's a good offense, it's a run first offense. You could see the vision, or you could see the scenarios in which he finishes as the RB1. I don't think there's many. I think the Janty is still the guy to own. But you could make an argument that trading down And the value that you get from that is probably a decent thing to get.
So people don't talk about, like, I know you mentioned in the last episode that, you know, people who are taken in the top five don't bust. There was a running back who was selected in the top five who had amazing athletic measurements, amazing strength, who did not end up panning out, who also went to a shit organization without a quarterback. Do you know who that is, Alex?
I have an idea, maybe? Are you saying... I don't think you're saying Saquon, right? At least I hope you're not. No, you're saying maybe Leonard Fournette?
I'm saying Trent Richardson.
Okay, we're going even... I mean, but Trent Richardson was kind of shit. No, like, that's before my time.
Oh my god.
Didn't the dude, like, in his first year... Let me just see if I can draw the numbers out of my mind. Because I read something about Trent Richardson a bit back. But didn't the dude have, like, nearly 250 carries in his first year?
Yes.
And got, like, around 3 yards per carry?
Hold on. Trent Richardson, let's look it up! He was went to an SEC school. Anyway.
I'm drawing it from my mind, because there was an argument about, like, Trent Richardson and trading for Trent Richardson.
267 carries and 3.6 yards an attempt.
That really sounds like a guy that was really heavy on volume, but wasn't really getting a whole lot of it out of the explosiveness, right? I feel like you're comparing apples to oranges in there.
I think we might have two apples, Alex.
Mm-hmm. I think you're wrong on that one. Like, if your comparison is Trent Richardson, like, I feel like the Saquon comparison is probably a bit better than a Trent Richardson, although I don't think that's the comp. I don't think any of them is the comp. So you could have also drawn, I believe, like, Darren McFadden was also, like, a top 5 pick in the NFL draft. Reggie Bush as well, but that one did well, so... He also had Ronnie Brown, but that's just way behind my time at that point.
I'm just saying it's not as guaranteed as people like to think.
No, but if you look at the recent history, you had Saquon, you had Leonard Fournette, you had Zeke, you had... Then it was Trent Richardson. Those were the last five guys. One, two, three, four guys. Drafted inside of the top 5. If you extend that to top 10, although the difference isn't that much, it's Saquon Barkley in there as well, just so you can have a top 5. Todd Gurley, that's my bad. I don't know, man. I feel like Janty is going to be a sure thing. And I think this draws back. I always remember this. I always remember, and I'll ask you this. Let's say you couldn't move back to 6, but you could get a running back for Janty. Would you trade the 101 for a bona fide stud running back? And for bona fide stud, I'll tell you. I'm talking about, let's say someone offered you a Breece Hall for him.
Yeah.
Would you take a Jonathan Taylor for him as well?
Jonathan Taylor? Ooh, that's a good question. Because I think Taylor, if I'm not mistaken, no.
Taylor is 26.
No, 26. No, I wouldn't.
And Saquon?
Saquon? No, I wouldn't.
A-Chain? I don't think you're in the A-Chain group, so.
I might.
Okay, and finally, because this guy is suddenly in here for some reason, Bucky Irving. Do you know that Bucky Irving is running back 7 currently in Keep Trick Cut?
Oh, yeah. Bucky Irving had a ridiculous season, and I'm from that.
You would take Bucky straight for Jank? No? Okay. Because I always come back to this one. And why would you take those guys for Jank?
Which guys? The ones that I said?
The ones that you said,
contract,
yes.
Technically.
Yes. And they are what?
Better
They've been in the league for a while. And they are a sure thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's draw back to this. In the Saquon Barkley draft, I had the 101 in our draft. And I remember I was still young at that time in Dynasty, and in life as well, because that's a while back. I remember searching for, at the time, I remember going on Reddit to ask for some help and whatnot, because I had an offer of a late first. So I think it was around pick 10 or pick 8, something like that, which falls like around middle of the draft for us. And a stud running back, like, they had just come off of the running back one season by quite a bit, and David Johnson. And it was David Johnson and that pick for Saquon. And like the consensus around Reddit and everywhere that I looked, just take the bona fide stud running back. The year after, the bona fide stud running back just completely fell off because the legs just went out.
Yep. And that is why. So here is my logic. The key to running back and the key to always being strong in running back is acquiring running backs still on the rookie deal. I think after a running back, no matter how good rookie deal, that can be a crapshoot. So yes, you're going to have people like Derrick Henry, but you can acquire Derrick Henry for like a late first, a second, even last year. So I think you want to be in one of two camps with running backs. I think you want to always be churning them and having rookie contracts on your roster, or you want to get the older ones who are on the second or third contract but are still producing for cheap. That's the key, for cheap. I do not think you want to be in the business of drafting a running back and keeping them throughout their entire career. That is not how running backs work. That can be how a wide receiver works. And I think to more of an extent, you kind of need to be in that boat for a tight end, because that's historically how a tight end has worked. But no, running back is your ADHD position. You don't want to get used to faces. You want to keep rotating them.
I understand that. And like keeping them for the entire career is never good. But at some point, you sort of have to embrace that the rookie is probably going to have a great season as well, and just like trust that this guy is highly touted for a reason. Sure. So I felt the same as I felt that.
I'm not saying you don't have to have faith. I'm saying Gentry's not the guy I have faith in.
Okay. Nothing can change your mind from that. Unless he comes out and he has
until yeah, if I see production, then yeah, I can admit I was wrong. But right now, no. No.
All right. No. All right. So my guy Emeka, he went inside of the top 20. Was the second run a wide receiver drafted, and this feels a lot like a JSN situation. But Godwin being hurt later in the season, I don't know like how prepared he will be to start the season. So I could see an opening here to have some more production from Emeka. But I don't expect a great season from him right ahead. So I feel like that's somewhat reflected in his price. Like, this is a guy that went, again, he was the second wide receiver drafted. He was inside of the top 20. And if you look at where he's going, usually, it's like around pick 8 in most cases. So it's behind guys like Caleb Johnson, Quinshon Judkins, Anderson as well. So all of those running backs, like, I could see it very easily. Like, as the season goes on, or as the offseason goes on, that is, he could fall behind a guy like Matthew Golden as well. That is a guy that is rising right now. And he has sort of a clear role in that offense. Like, that just felt like Christian Watson. The sound that we all heard when Matthew Golden was drafted was the sound of, like, Christian Watson falling to his knees and just hurting his knees again, because that's sort of, like, the thing with him. So Matthew Golden, I could see going ahead of Emeka. You just said that you were in a draft that Emeka didn't even go inside of the first round. Yes. I just feel like he's going to be great value, because like starting from next year, that's going to be a great spot opening up for that team. Like, that's a team, the offense is good. Baker has been dealing. Like, he loves the flex.
There's an obvious reason for the Emeka fall, though, as far as Dynasty draft goes, because... Especially if you're, so let's say you're someone like me. You look for, you know, you look for metrics as far as, like, are they fast? Are they strong? Can they catch? And you also look for production. Well, and production is a very, 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 very important metric. Well, Emeka was in an interesting situation where he really didn't get a good opportunity to produce. So his production metrics, quite honestly, look terrible. So there's always going to be, especially if you are used to these metrics and you have used this kind of guideline to evaluate players, there will always be that doubt in the back of your mind that maybe this guy didn't produce because he wasn't a good wide receiver, even if all the wide receivers he was playing with were elite, turned out to be elite. So I think that's the camp. I think you have to have, I'm going to use the word faith, you have to have a lot of faith that Emeka is, in fact, a wide receiver good enough and worthy of the spot that he was selected in the first round. And I don't think as many users have that.
I think flashbacks to Terry McLaurin. This was the same thing with Terry. Like, no one really loves the guy. The production isn't great. The profile isn't great in terms of athleticism. But he has the intangibles. And when you have that, that goes a long way. And that's the one thing that the teams raved about this dude, that the Bucks raved about this dude. It's just a football player, man. He's just willing to do whatever he wants in the field. Like, if you want him to block, he fucking blocks, like, whatever the fuck you want. If you want him to run every single run in the playbook, you can just pick your litter. This is a guy that will be the team first. He will wear the shirt with pride. I don't know what's not to love about this dude. Like, and they've loved him, his production as well. So, like, they want him to be the heir apparent to a Chris Godwin. And I can see him be that, like, starting from next year, very clearly. I could see a transition role this year in which he starts off the season, then Godwin comes back. He takes back his role for some of the season. And then as the season ends, you see Emeka being more and more and more used. And starting next year, that's when the season is about to start, when this career is about to start. So I'm pumped for Emeka. I think this is a good landing spot. And I have zero fears of drafting this dude. I have all the faith, as you said, in the world, in my guy, Emeka Ekpika.
So that's one of the things that, like, I think, as, because I haven't done a rookie draft from start to finish yet, but I think as I do them more, I'm going to start to realize that I ended up fading wide receiver altogether in a lot of these drafts. I think that's just going to be the nature of it. So I think that also is going to have something to do with it, but that doesn't mean Emeka's a bad wide receiver.
Okay, and after that, Matthew Golden also went in the first. They finally broke the chain of never going running back in the wide receiver in the first. They finally did it in Green Bay, nonetheless, when the draft is being hosted in Green Bay. But yeah, that was I think that was a solid pick. They needed a guy like that. They clearly didn't think that Christian Watson was going to be back to what they thought he was. This is, although Matthew Golden is a smaller guy than Christian Watson, this is still going to be the same hard type of guy. It's the Z, it's the guy that you want to stretch the field.
So that's kind of like my whole, like, issue and my whole thing is, I think even if he plays more like a Christian Watson, his frame is more like Jaden Reed. And I think they're going to struggle mightily to figure out how to differentiate the role they want to give him and the role they want to give Jaden Reed. And not only that, I'm not sure the Christian Watson was the type of wide receiver you wanted in the Packers offense. In fact, one of the qualms about the Packers offense is you don't know who to target, because it seemed, because Jordan, and this is not a knock on Jordan, this is a fucking impressive thing about Jordan Love. He spreads the ball really fucking well, dude. So the number one wide receiver is not always obvious in a given game. I don't know.
But I think you could see when Christian Watson was in the field, he was somewhat productive, and you could see the when the games were coming, the Christian games were coming, Christian Watson games were coming, and you would also get those 3 to 4 targets game, very much like, and I think this is the situation that you need to look at. You just need to look at inside of your division, you need to look at the Lions. They spread the ball around between Amon-Ra, between Jameson Williams, between Sam Laporte as well, and the third wide receiver that, I mean, either Khalif Raymond or last year, I think it was, I'm missing his name, the guy from Denver that got hurt twice in the year, Patrick something, the wide receiver,
Tim Patrick.
Last year, I think it was some bit of a Tim Patrick in there. And I think that's how this offense is going to operate. Like, Jaden Reed is going to take most of the targets this year. This is the year in which he assumes the bigger role. I think Dobbs is going to be the third guy, like, out of everything that happened last year. Like, the unwillingness to go to practices because he wanted a better deal. He wanted a bigger role in the offense. I think that's going to sour the relationship with your organization a bit. And then you're going to have the Jameson Williams. In this case, it's going to be Matthew Golden. It's sort of the same archetype of player, although Jameson is a much better play, in my opinion. But Matthew Golden is going to be the guy that is used that way. And when you look at Christian Watson being healthy in this offense, he would get some of the targets. A lot of the times, he would get balls that would hit him straight open in the ends, and he would fail to catch them. Those would have gone for touchdowns or massive gains, and he didn't catch those balls. And I think they drafted them, not only because they don't think they can rely on Watson from a physical standpoint, but they also don't necessarily think that they can rely on him from the player standpoint. They don't think that they've developed him enough to the point in which he is the guy that they can rely upon. So that's why they went with Matthew Golden here. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think this offense is going to be compacted into Tyler Kraft, yeah. Then you're going to have the Matthew Golden, and you're going to have Jaden Reed. And I think those are going to be the 3 primary targets. And I could see this offense working out well.
I mean, I could see it working out well because it's Jordan Love, but, like...
I think for fantasy, those guys are going to be the ones that
My spidey senses are tingling with this, and something feels off about it. That's just me, though.
And finally, the last, like, fantasy player that we have to discuss here on offenses that went in the first round is the Giants moved up, and they drafted Jackson Dart to end the season, to end the run of skilled position players in terms of offense. So they got Jackson Dart here. They moved up with Houston. They didn't pay a whole lot, and they managed to get the guy that should be their future. Like, this was the pick that was around for most of the time. By the time the draft was about to come, was that they had heavy interest in Jackson Dart. And when you look at the connections, it makes sense as well. When you look at Mississippi, who did they have from Mississippi? Like, who's the best QB in Giants history, maybe? Eli Manning is from Mississippi. The former head coach that they had, oh my god, what's the name?
I think they let that shit die, dude. The whole what? The whole finding the next Eli thing. They just need to let that shit die.
I'm not saying it's because he went from Mississippi, but when you see the connections, you could see, like, for example, if I'm not mistaken, it was Joe Judge as well. He is at Ole Miss. He is the senior analyst at Ole Miss. When you look at one of the kids from the Giants GM, he is at Ole Miss as well. Eli is from Ole Miss. Like, all of those connections started to add up. And you could see, like, they were putting as much research in Jackson Dart as they were putting on Shedeur Sanders. The connections were there, and they managed to, like, do everything they want about the dude. And they think that this dude is going to be, like, the guy that they can hang their hat on for the foreseeable future. So, Jackson Dart, I'm not sure if this is going to work out with Dart. I have my doubts about Dart, but I have my doubts about most of the QBs in this draft. So, if it were Shedeur, I would say this wouldn't roll, especially in the big market of New York. Like, no dice. With Jackson Dart, it's going to have to sit. But I can see the vision.
You can see the vision. I don't know. I can't see the vision, buddy.
Are you not taking any shots at this dude? In Superflex, that is.
I don't know if I would want a quarterback from this class, honestly. I'm not going to lie.
Even at cost? Because at cost right now, I can tell you that this Jackson Dart is going top of the second, according to Keep Trade Cut. He is behind the Colster Loveland, the Tyler Warren, the Caleb Johnson, the RJ Harvey. And he's ahead of guys like Luther Burden, Jaden Higgins, Matthew Golden, Cam Scadaboo, your guy. You still wouldn't take a shot at this guy?
I mean, I get... With a second round pick? I mean, I... Yeah. Super flex. I'd still...
Like, think top of the second. Luther Burden. Top... Yeah, I think I would rather have... Okay, after Luton Burton, would you rather have him ahead of a guy like Matthew Golden or Jaden Higgins or Cam Scadaboo?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I think, like, if I'm sitting at top of the first and, like, the decision is Jackson Dart or Jaden Higgins, probably go Jaden Higgins. If it is, like, Jackson Dart or Matthew Golden, probably Matthew Golden, but that's something that I'm going to sit on for a bit. If it is Jackson Dart or Luton Burden, I'd probably go Jackson Dart. Purely because of what we've discussed of the JSN situation. And I think, like, if I have to wait a year, I'd probably rather wait a year with a Jackson Dart. Because if he hits, he's still a first-round QB. They're going to have him for 5 years. And the value in Superflex just outweighs what you can get for a wide receiver. So, like, if both hit, Jackson Dart's probably worth a bit more. And that's what you have to take in mind. Like, for you to take any of these guys, you need to have the mindset that they will hit. Plus, I also think it's easier to cut bait on a Jackson Dart. In terms of, like, if he's not panning out, if he's not starting already, you sort of cut him loose after a few years. While with Luther Burden, he can be one of those guys that, like, you just love so much. Then he can just, like, hang around the squad for a bit, which is never good. Okay, after these guys, those were the guys in the first round. We've discussed the Luther Burdens, we've discussed the Jaden Higgins and whatnot. Is there any guy that you think it's, like, a sneaky fit in terms of guys that went in the second, third, fourth round, wherever? I know you like Cam Scadaboo. Do you think this is a guy that you would still draft? Like, he went to the Giants. I don't know, man. I
went to the Giants, dude. Like, they've been a shit organization.
So, like, no Cam Scadaboo for you?
Probably not. No Cam Scadaboo for me.
What? Didn't get it. Sorry.
I said probably not.
Okay. And plus, they also have the guy that they drafted last year, which I'm completely blanking on. What's the name of the running back? Tyron Tracy, yeah. They still have Tyron Tracy, and Tracy had a very good year. Like, fumbles were the big issue for them. But outside of that, he had a great year. So, Cam Scadaboo going there in the fourth round. I know there's some Cam Scadaboo fans. I don't like Cam Scadaboo, so, like, easy enough. He's out of my list. Tuden, do you think Tuden is a guy that you'll still like? I know he was someone that you were excited for prior to the draft. He goes to Jacksonville, but, like, Jacksonville, there's some issues. I mean, ETN hasn't been what people wanted him to be. He's in the last year of his deal. They have the other guy, the Tank Bigsby as well. So, like, he could complement Tank Bigsby quite a bit. Couldn't you see, like, a scenario in which, like, Tuden has the lead carry or as the ETN new role?
Again, it depends on the depends on the price tag in the draft, but honestly, like, again, Jacksonville, pretty shit organization, kind of just like, man, like, And they drafted Travis Hunter too. Like
Travis Hunter looks like he's going to be a wide receiver, by the way.
He does.
So like Cohen was pretty happy on that.
Funny enough, in that same draft that you mentioned, he was drafted number 2. So I think you're going to see his stock go way up.
He's currently the 3rd pick in terms of the consensus. The consensus is 3rd pick. So, like, it feels like there's a very solid top 6 right now. With Janty going first, then you have a tier of Mario Hampton, you have a tier with Travis Hunter. I believe all of these guys are in the same tier, basically. But Hampton, Travis Hunter, Anderson, Pat, and Quinshon Jenkins, all of those guys are in the tier. After that, you have the tier break, and then it becomes a bit more muddy of which of the guys that you want, because it's a bigger tier. But yeah, you could definitely see the tier start appearing right now. Outside of those, who could be another guy down here that could be interesting? Jaden Higgins, we discussed a bit. I like the landing spot. It's a bit like Nico Collins. So they play sort of the same way, sort of the same role. But I think there's space for 2 Nico Collins in there.
Yeah. No, I like the Texas landing spot a lot, honestly.
Yeah. They drafted another wide receiver in Jalen Noel. But he is like a third round pick at that point. So like he's going to be a bit of more of a speed guy, if I remember that correctly. I would need to check back on my notes. But I believe that's one of the more of the speed guys. RJ Harvey is the guy that really jumped up, like a 24-year-old running back going to Denver. People are buying onto the hype. He went in the second round, if I'm not mistaken, to the Broncos out of UCF. Like, he's 5'9", 205. 24 years old as well, as I said. I don't know. That's one of the guys that has really been rising in the ranks right now. He's a first-round pick at this point. Are you buying the RGRV hype? Like, what do you think about his profile?
RG Harvey is a very decent prospect, but at the same time, so I think he's going to be more akin to your, what's the word?
Viking?
No, the Texans. When the Texans drafted that running back and then you sold him
Damian Pierce.
Damian Pierce, yes. I think he's going to be a really solid fantasy producer this year, but I question the long-term viability. He's someone I would definitely be selecting. The Broncos offense isn't as atrocious as a lot of the other offenses these players went to. So that's also a bonus.
Finally, just to name another guy that I think like could get. Also, what did you think of Dylan Sampson and Jetkins both going to the Browns?
That made me so sad.
It's sort of took out 2 of the best prospects that you like.
I really wanted the Browns bucket. I'm so mad at what the Browns did. But the Browns kind of like double dipped, and they basically signaled that they're in no certain terms they are getting rid of Nick Chubb. They're not resigning him. There's no way they're going to resign him. Just, it's a pipe dream. If you're a Browns fan and you think they're going to resign him, it's a pipe dream, buddy. But at the same time, I kind of wouldn't mind both. I think Judkins does play a lot like Nick Chubb did play for the Browns. I think Judkins could be a good running back. And I do think Dylan Sampson could be a nice change of pace back. I think the Browns have always done this. I'm going to say this thing, but this is a thing a lot of the NFL teams do, where they get a power back and they get a change of pace back and a receiving back. I think Dylan is definitely going to be your receiving back, and Judkins is going to be your Nick Chubb type back. I actually do think there's a world or a season, especially if the Browns can get the quarterback position right, where both of them have fantasy relevant seasons.
It's a big if for the Browns.
That is a big if.
Like, in your lifetime, have the Browns ever got the position right?
No, not really.
So, I'm just saying, that's a big, big what if. So after the first round, after the first few rounds, if I'm not mistaken, after both Anderson and Judkins went, because again, I lost my sense of time there a bit because I went to London for the weekend. But I think it was there. It was before the Dylan Sampson pick. You were making the case that Judkins over Anderson for you. Do you still stand on that?
Ooh. You know what? I stand on business. Yes, I do still think I would draft Judkins over Henderson.
I'm very much in the Anderson camp.
I would be too. Like, the Patriots are on the rise offense. You believe in Drake May. The brain's kind of just all over the place right now, but you believe in Drake May. You think the Patriots are an on the rise offense, and Henderson has the opportunity to catch a lot of passes from Drake May and do stuff with the ball in his hand. So we'll see. I do think that they're both very good running backs, though. I would not be opposed to having Henderson, but I still think, and maybe it's just because of the way maybe I have recency bias in this sense. Maybe it's just because I've seen Browns running backs be more relevant in the last 5-10 years than I have Patriots running backs be relevant.
Well, sort of. Like, Ramondre had a few seasons in which he was good, and this is just like off of recent memory. But then it's hard to compare because it's the Tom Brady years and whatnot. So,
yep.
But again, you've seen offenses with Vrabel have great running backs. A certain Derrick Henry rings some bells. I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry, but I don't think this offense is going to change all that much. This is going to be a run-centric offense. It's going to be one wide receiver getting to shoulder most of the receiving work as well. And some tight ends doing some of the work as well here. So I'm very much in the Anderson camp. I feel like Anderson is this regime's guy going forward. Like, he went in the second round. I feel like this is a hint that Ramondre isn't long for the tooth in New England. He was also he wasn't great last year. With the fumbles, with all of the other thing, like in terms of his efficiency, it was also not the best season for him. So I feel like Ramondre is getting dumped out of here. And finally, to conclude, I guess we'll talk about this one. The guy that I've heard the most being talked about is as a guy that can make some noise, as a guy that you take like later into the second round, maybe mid-second, late second, maybe even early third, depends on the league in which you're in. But Jack Betch, he's a guy that goes in the second round to the Raiders. Like, this is nothing, right? This is just people falling for another TCU guy. Like, you look at this dude's profile, and it's just absolutely atrocious. This is just the flavor of the year TCU guy at this point.
Flavor of the year TCU guy, he says.
Yes, the Jalen Reagor, Quentin Johnston. He's all of those guys. Plus, plus, plus.
I agree.
Terrible speed. Production profile is like off the charts bad. Okay, so I'm glad we agree on that one to end.
Yeah, so we agree on that one.
Okay.
There's nothing on this guy's profile or on the team that I like. So like,
because he started off well, because he went to LSU. He could have been one of those LSU guys. And when LSU, wide receiver, you just doesn't have a place for you. And I'm even rhyming at this point. When LSU, wide receiver, you doesn't have a place for you, you better just go to TCU. I'm leaving it on that because it rhymes and that's it.
Because it rhymes and that's it. And that's all Alex has to say to that. And that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so.
Alex said so. All right. Anything else for you to add, Angel?
No.
Overall, okay, this was a bit of a quicker show. We'll discuss a few more things, a few more of the rookies. I mean, there's still plenty to talk about, but we still have weeks to come. We'll discuss it as it goes along as well. So yeah, hope you enjoyed it, all of this, dude. All of the content here in terms of the rookies coming up, leading up to the draft. Some things didn't go as we expected. Not as many shows as we would like to release, but yeah, it still worked out fine at that point. So yeah, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you have a blast. Hope you have a great week or rest of the week, that is. And we'll be back next week to discuss more rookies, more aftermath of what happened to the draft, more Shedeur Sanders and whatnot, because we didn't go super deep into that. But anything outside of the first round or outside of the first few rounds of Dynasty, we're going to leave it for next week. So have a good one, guys. And as always, talk next week.
Peace out, guys.